Blog Talk Radio.
The following wrestling broadcast is performed by highly trained professional athletes. It is not recommended that their actions be imitated in any form whatsoever in the home. This is the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour with your host, Frank Namoli, and wrestling's masked cowboy, the Maverick. It's Friday night, and this is your weekly dose of retro wrestling, the LAW Retro Wrestling Radio Show. I am your host, Frank Namoli, and by my side, as he is every Friday, wrestling's only masked cowboy, the Maverick.
Well, it still sounds like you're in a soup can, but at least you got the weekly part right. You know, this network gets weirder and weirder every week. What was that 70s disco funk lead into the show this week?
Apparently, our other hosts cannot read a memo. And we're told not to. Yes, there was a memo about uploading stuff. And apparently we're the only ones that can read it. You were not to make it the opening bumper, but apparently someone, because I don't know whose music that is, but apparently someone just can't read.
Some 70s cop show, Sanford and Son meets SWAT thing going on there. So whatever show that is every week.
Yeah, I cut it off, so.
Wow.
Yeah. Whatever show it is, don't listen to it.
We're going to get another memo.
I don't. You know what? At this point, I don't care. Because I'm taking over the network on May the 4th.
Are you?
I'm changing passwords.
You're changing the passwords.
Yeah, and we're going to be the only thing on all day. We're just going to call in from wherever we are and just talk about Star Wars. We are officially...
Tonight.
Yeah, we're going to become pirates.
We're going to become pirates?
We're going to take what's due to us.
How would I look with an eye patch over my mask?
That would be so... That's actually pretty cool. And I'll wear one over both eyes.
That sounds good to me.
There you go. All right. Well, if you think the beginning of the show was weird, it's only going to get weirder, friends, because tonight we're going to be talking about something that is near and dear to our heart, but in this case, maybe not so much, tag teams. But we're not talking about the favorites or good memories. We are talking about some of the worst pairings in wrestling, some that are so bad that they are absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, the bottom of the barrel, as it were. And I was surprised how many really bad tag teams there were. And in making the list this week, there were a couple that jumped in. There are tag teams that I have not enjoyed so much that they have just stuck with me for the wrong reasons. And then there was, like, doing research, as I like to do, you come across teams you forgot about, and you're like, ooh, that was pretty awful, too. And I made the joke earlier in the week, and I don't know if he made any of your lists. I know he's at least one of mine, and I actually limited him to one because just about everything he did was awful. But Marcus Alexander Buff Bagwell is the king of awful tag teams.
He did make my list. I'm hoping he didn't make it for the same one he made, which is funny because, like, you can pick so many with him.
Yeah.
But there is one that stands out on my list because of one incident, but they were just awful. period.
Yeah, and they were just bad ideas all around. Like, especially early on when they were desperate to do something with him, but he was so green in the ring that he was awful, so they paired him up with other guys in tag team combinations and gave them all a big push, and it was just wacky. Then there were some tag team combinations that I thought were going to make the list, but I found things that were much worse. And then actually one of the tag teams on the list are two guys I absolutely love, and I joke about this tag team all the time, but the reality of it is it was just a horrendous failure. So, and then there was a bunch more that didn't make the list that I just may talk about anyway.
Oh, we're going to – and if you notice, I changed the name of our show. We are no longer the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour because we rarely go an hour anymore. So we are now officially the LAW Retro Radio Show.
Well, you have us on the page. It's the Retro Wrestling Show, but I prefer being wrestling personally.
Wrestling?
Yeah, we were Retro Wrestling Hour. Now you have us as the Retro Wrestling Show.
I'm sorry, I will change that. That's my mistake. You're the admin. Change it. What do I give you rights for?
I'm changing the whole show to just Retro Wrestling Radio. The three R's. The R and R and R. It's like a show for pirates. If we're becoming pirates, we need to be the RRR.
The Law R. I like that. Okay. It's done. I've given you the right to vote. Now vote. Speaking of which, did you vote this week?
I am a registered independent. I do not get to vote in the primaries.
I was scared to vote because I don't want President Trump to bar all the luchadors. Because you know he's going to build a wall to keep them out.
What would they do with the first hour of Nitro?
Nitro isn't on the air anymore.
It still is to me, man. It still is to me.
Yeah, now it's called DNA.
No, don't do that to Nitro. Nitro was never that bad.
I want to say you're... No, I can't even argue that point. I saw someone...
Even at its worst, Nitro was never as bad as any hour of TNA ever.
I saw our good friend Chris Cruz, who runs Freedom Pro Wrestling, advertising his show this week, and they have Eric Young on the show. And as everyone knows, he made the jump to NXT WWE. So
yeah.
he had a big announcement that he's still going to be on the show. And I said, and then I put a little comment underneath. And the great part is you can now announce him as NXT WWE star Eric Young, because nobody should have TNA in front of their name.
That's true. So that is him promoting down in Memphis, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I am
awesome. Thanks for the call.
I was so hard.
See if I vote for you again.
You didn't vote for him.
I voted for him 6 times the last time he was running.
You know what, though? And you want to hear the worst part? It's in the Nashville Fairgrounds. You and
now
I could have
really
had a great
bitter.
Time.
Now I'm really
yeah,
bitter.
We're
fine, Krispy Kreme. They probably
just for that.
Anyway. I have to travel more than an hour from my home to wrestle anymore. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, but come on, for a chance to I would come out of retirement for a chance for us to wrestle in Memphis. Come on, partner.
So I'm trying to update our page info. To Maverick Retro Wrestling Radio, starring Maverick and the other guy. How's that sound?
No.
Why not?
I pay the bills on that page.
There's no bills. It's a free page. And if you are paying bills, you're getting ripped off because we've got like 20 people following it.
Really? What are you people waiting for? We got more than 20 listeners. You follow us on Jerk.
It's true. We got more listeners than we got Facebook fans. That don't even make sense.
Yeah.
Well, not after this show, because we've done nothing but babble for the first 10 minutes of the show.
That's all right. I know our fans out in Israel appreciate us. So, anyway, we are going to be talking tag teams, and we're actually, you know, there's two commercial breaks now, not just one.
What?
Yeah, apparently. But they split them up into smaller. So I guess we'll go into our first commercial break. We'll see how the show goes, and we may eventually get to the second one. Because, you know, they don't, you know, the powers that be never bother us. So if we don't play the second commercial break, they may not know.
They don't listen to us. They listen to us.
No,
they canceled us because all we do is talk bad about them.
That is true. Well, we don't constantly talk bad about them. Although we are the best show on the network, and it really should be totally driven Maverick and Frank.
We can do that.
We should. I mean, we do have the access, and like I said, we can change the password and just, like, go on here and just take over.
I don't want to do that. It's a lot of work. You have to, like,
see, we
roast stuff.
That's a problem. We're not motivated. Could be criminals, but we're not motivated enough. So, all right, let's get to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to talk some tag team wrestling.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause. www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to teddyscares.com. And be sure to become our friends at facebook.com/teddyscares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors
right.
Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 1734 53. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, we are back, and I just don't feel right coming back and not hearing letters from Holmes.
I know. What happened to Wyndham?
He better be on the next commercial block, or we will protest this also.
All right, we'll make our own commercials for now on. What do you want to do one for, Burger King?
And we got to give a shout out to one of our listeners. They vote for no second commercial break.
I love it. Our fans are as ridiculous as we are.
And if we have any listeners overseas besides Israel, please chime in. We want to give shout outs to all our overseas listeners. We welcome everybody. We are the melting pot of this radio station. All right, let's talk some tag teams. Anyone who's listened to this show for more than 10 seconds know you and I have an insane love of wrestling tag teams. Done.
There was an end. I thought you were giving me a moment to speak.
Yeah, oh, go ahead. You can have one.
Well, now I don't want to. Now I don't want to. You ruined it.
Anyway.
You've ruined my moment.
It won't be the first or the last. No, really, anyone who knows us knows we love tag teams. We've talked, and you and I could talk tag teams just between each other for hours. And the subject came up last week on just how bad some teams are and some pairings have been over the years. And so, of course, you know, when something like that comes up, you got to make a show out of it.
Continuation. Last week we were talking strongest men in wrestling, and a couple names were involved in some pretty awful tag teams, and one in particular awful tag team, which actually is the top of my list. So if you do listen week to week, spoiler, I already gave away last week. But trust me, I've got more schlock and awe coming.
All right. So, as usual, I always let you start it off. Go ahead, compadre.
All right, I get to start off my worst and out. Again, I always try to give a little recap as to where my thought process was, because what is an awful tag team? Is it their record? No, not necessarily. There's been some great tag teams that never won. Sometimes it's chemistry. Sometimes it's ability. Sometimes it's flat out a gimmick. There's a couple tag teams on here who are made up of actually decent wrestlers, but the gimmick and what they were saddled with was so awful that even they, like, I was watching the tag team today, my first tag team. I'm going to make up my first tag team. I was watching them today on the video, and they on their way to the ring, you could see how much they actually hated themselves for having to do this gimmick. My first team is the New Midnight Express of Bombastic Bob and Bodacious Bart. Now, for those of you who aren't privy enough to know what I'm speaking of, in the 90s Attitude Era, for whatever reason, Jim Cornette had to be responsible. He conned the WWE into using the NWA moniker and doing an old-school revolution, an old-school invasion angle featuring the NWA. And one of the things he did was he brought back the name, the Midnight Express. And unfortunately, you know, he didn't bring in Stan and Bobby. He didn't even bring in Dennis and Bobby. He brought in, they repackaged two guys who really weren't doing much in the WWE. Two guys I actually like, Bart Gunn and Bob Holly. And they repackaged them as the Midnight Express. And just everything about this rang awful. From the tights that had ME on the back of their butt, so it looked like it said me, to the cheesy version of the Midnight Express movie, and just the fact that they had no charisma together whatsoever. It was just awful from start to finish. And it didn't last long, but they did manage to come out with the NWA Tag Team Championship, which meant absolutely positively nothing in the eyes of the WWE. So I don't even think they defended it, except maybe against the Rock and Roll Express to win it. Everything about it, and the clip I'm putting up now, I'm actually typing the clip and putting it up now. You'll see, even as they're walking to the ring, it looks like if they had the opportunity, they would kill themselves before they got in the ring. They both just looked defeated doing this gimmick, and it was an awful gimmick. And under any other packaging, this team may have been okay, but it was just bad. Even the announcers ignored the match for most of it.
All I got to say is bombastic.
Right. I mean, what kind of
bombastic? What the hell is a bombastic?
Bombastic Bob. And Bodacious Bart. And I mean, it wasn't even, you had Sweet Stan and Beautiful Bobby. Nope. Bodacious and Bombastic.
And I could see Bodacious. But
only because you teamed with a Bodacious, but that's not even a good nickname.
Well, I mean, I could see that a little bit, but really, I understand they didn't want to do Beautiful because of Bobby. I understand that. But they couldn't have done Breathtaking Bob?
Yeah, that's not much better.
Believable Bob?
That would have worked. Believable Bob Holly. And Bodacious Bart Gunn. Yeah, Bombastic. That alone, Bombastic, it was just awful, awful, awful. And actually, in the match I posted, they're taking on a very young Crowbar in Devin Storm.
Was he Cronacious?
No, he was not Crowtastic. So, comments on the new Midnight Express, sir. Do you even remember the new Midnight Express?
Oh, I do, because I loved that angle until it actually started. And I was like...
Because
I love...
Back Barry Windham, old Midnight Express, old Rock and Roll Express.
Exactly.
And the awfulest, awfulest version of the Midnight Express ever.
I was like, you could at least, you know... he could have did some because he had so much to choose from in the NWA at the time, and that was the best you could do.
What I think happened is I can see in the meetings Cornette kept pushing for this gimmick. Let's bring back the wrestlers. You know, he was very anti Attitude Era the whole time he was there. He wanted to bring back the quote unquote wrestlers, and he probably wore them down to the point where the rest of the writers were like, all right, let's humor this guy. Let's humor him, and we'll just give him, and, you know, we're not going to put any effort into it. We're not going to put any energy into it. We're not bringing in anybody. I think Tommy Young was the biggest high-profile sign in the whole gimmick. Remember they brought Tommy Young in for a match or two?
Yes, yes. How bad was that? But I agree with you, Hunter. It was just it could have been something cool. But then it just turned into like a,
yeah.
A quote Lurch from the Addams Family.
And it did fizzle quick, but you know the Midnight Express themselves. Yeah, exactly. I managed to get them on YouTube, so it wasn't that quick. But like no tag team chemistry at all. They did not want to do it. You can tell they hated every minute of it. They did one tag team move, and that was a really fake version of the rocket launcher as their finisher. I mean, even Bob Holly with his fake, he had his hair all blonded out. It was just bad.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that's, see, you always, I can always count on you to set the bar high. You're like the best opener in history for this.
Because I research my stuff, man.
I have researched so much that my first pick is going to be our buddy. And I'm hoping, like I said, this isn't because we talked about him. We know him. No one has actually ever loved him. I have never heard a good Buff Bagwell story in the history of wrestling. It reminds me of that scene from Shrek with Shrek and Donkey where they're talking. You don't ever hear anybody going, hell no, want to see me some Buff Bagwell. There's nobody. So, my first tag team is Buff and Stuff. When he teamed with Scott Steiner. Not only were they bad, and I posted a match, but I'm also posting the famous Scott Steiner live Roid Rage. Do you remember that?
I remember that. Are we allowed to post that?
Yeah, why not? I mean, we basically Roid Rage on the show every week, so.
Anybody who's seen us wrestle knows that we've never done steroids.
No. We just rage without the. But if you remember, he came out and they cut his microphone, and he literally went bat poo crazy and started attacking and flipping and dropping. Yep, and literally on national TV, WCW sucks this, and WCW can suck. And whoa. And you see Bagwell like, I just hope I have a job after this.
I'm not associated with this.
Literally,
I do not condone anything he's doing.
The only thing that could have made that better is if he just said, I don't know this man, and just walked away. I mean, it just shows you, and this was towards the end of WCW, how much they lost control.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
absolutely.
Like, you know, the story behind this is apparently Bischoff wasn't at this one. And he swore up and down that J.J. Dillon and everyone else was out to get him. And he went into a whole rage and rampage. And then they, I guess, talked him down. But the worst part was they didn't fire him. The man goes on national TV, trashes your product, trashes everything, and he still got a job. Man, what's but yes, Buff and Stuff is my number. That is my Buff Bagwell entry.
That is amazing because I focused on early, and I actually picked the worst of the crap in that whole section, and I forgot Buff and Stuff because Scott Steiner became such a ridiculous cartoon character after a while. I mean, he got so bloated he couldn't move. He was so hurt he couldn't move. And teaming him with the other pile of awful that was Buff Bagwell, it was potentially the worst idea anyone has ever had.
And I
forgot all about it.
And do you remember when, and not to get off subject of tag team, but we got to bring this up. Remember when WWE tried to bring him in? And to feud with Triple H.
Yeah.
And it was and it led to one of the worst matches in history. Test versus
yes.
Scott Steiner. Just that's an honorable mention for things that'll probably be coming up in the future at some point. So there you go. That's my first entry.
That's amazingly awful.
And as always, we are posting all of our entries on the LAW Retro Wrestling Radio fan page on Facebook. You can look us up at LAW Retro Wrestling Radio. And
it may take a while because we literally just changed the name of it.
And if you want to leave us a message on the page, we do monitor the page. And if you want to call in, of course, it's 718-508-9883. Remember, for our international callers, charges may apply.
Really?
I don't know. I'm not allowed out of the country. You know that.
Do we get charged? Like, do we get paid extra if someone calls from out of state?
No, I think they actually have to pay us.
They pay us?
No. Anyway, what's your next pick?
All right, I'm going to stay on our theme of I had a lot to choose from. I almost went with this combination because every time it came on, I couldn't even tell you what they ever did in a match because it was so bad I turned it off every single time I saw them. And it still wasn't my pick for the worst Buff Bagwell tag team. I mean, him and Too Cold Scorpio were just awful together. To the point where apparently Too Cold Scorpio has been going around challenging Buff Bagwell to a legit fight. I just read that recently. Like, he hated him that much. 30 years later, he's still pissed off at him. And then, of course, there's Stars and Stripes.
Oh.
Which they were bad. That was really, really bad.
When he teamed with Tom Brandy.
Yes, the Patriot. And actually, he took on what was going to be one of my picks, but they ended up not making a list. I found a tape when I was looking for Buff Bagwell matches of Stars and Stripes versus Pretty Wonderful. who just narrowly missed my list, and that was an awful, awful match. But I ended up going with the legend of all awful tag teams. And this should be the number one on my list. I have such a disdain for my number one, I'm not even going to pretend. So my Buff Bagwell awful tag team pick, sing the song with me, the American Males.
American males.
How awful were the American Males?
Dude, when everyone hates your song before you hit the ring, you know you're bad.
Right. And the months of build-up of these two for Nitro, of them in the hotel with their shirts off, walking across the beach like they were models. Oh, it was just awful leading up to it. And you never wanted them to debut because you knew it was going to be awful. And then they came out, and oh, and the fact that neither of them could wrestle to save their life.
Yeah, it's...
Scotty Riggs and Buff Bagwell.
And you know what my favorite part of that that video is?
What's
them
that?
Standing on the stair, them standing on the stairs with the black and white looking up at the sky.
Like, oh, we're going to have one of them parties at the hotel tonight. Call in the backup.
Yeah, seriously. Even, I mean, literally, and this is not a made-up story, the Village People showed up at WCW, saw the American Males, and went, wow, that's gay. True story.
I almost believe that. They're so bad.
They were, and like you said, they were just so green. And usually, you know, when you had a guy that maybe had a look and had potential, you teamed him with maybe a seasoned veteran or someone, you know, that could pick up the slack.
Right.
That was just no thought to that forever.
Well, the problem with that is at that point. Yeah, at that point, Bagwell was a seasoned veteran. He'd been a veteran of 57 tag team championships between Stars and Stripes, and I don't even know what they called him in Too Cold Scorpio, and he'd been around forever.
Yeah, but he was never the man.
Oh, no. He was never good, period.
He was just... And I think it comes down to he lacked the one thing that you got to have in a tag team. Teamwork.
Oh, absolutely. He was full on diva. Wanted...
Yes. And you just can't beat, you know, bad Buff Bagwell tag teams.
We could do a whole show on bad Buff Bagwell tag teams. We are practically
coming soon. You know what? We should just do a whole show on bad Buff Bagwell stuff.
No, I couldn't do that. I hate myself too much if I had to talk about him that long.
He'd tune in, though. You know he would, just because he's getting press.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably listening now.
He might be. There's going to be a YouTube promo on us any minute now.
All right. Do you think we really care?
Yeah.
The next one on my list... I guarantee a lot of people probably don't remember or may not have had a chance to see this. But trust me when I say bad wasn't the word. And honestly, this tag team has one of the most beloved wrestlers in wrestling history in it. And I am talking about a team that was so slow that literally their matches would go back in time. Andre the Giant and Giant Baba.
Ooh. Controversial.
Our friend Brian Mackey was actually mentioning them earlier, and I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag that I had them on my list. But
right.
I have posted a match. And tell me this doesn't have disaster written all over it. Giant Bob and Andre the Giant versus Steve Williams and Terry Gordy.
Oh, my. That had to get ugly in a hurry.
But no, I will give Gordy and Williams credit. They showed the utmost respect to both of them. The funniest part of the match is Andre and Baba were so – this was from 1990. At this point, they were
okay.
both at the end of their careers. They didn't even bother getting out of the ring. They were, at one point, you will see Baba just standing in the corner because he didn't want to climb through the ropes and then climb back in, waiting for Andre to tag him.
That's when you know you've been around too long. Like, I know he's going to bother getting out of the ring.
I am dead serious. It is one of the funniest things because you're just like, did he just not even get out of the ring? And then each time, it was almost like Andre was pissed off each time he had to come in the ring because you see him getting over the rope and he's like, oh, come on. But
right.
He literally climbs over the rope, puts Terry Gordy in a chin lock for about a minute. Baba doesn't even bother getting out of the ring. Just stands in the corner waiting for Andre to come back and tag him.
It's like, forget it.
I was like, yeah, if I get out, I'm just going to have to get back in again. And like a and even you got to watch it because even the tag is lazy. It literally is the laziest tag in the history of wrestling. And again, they are two legends. No one will dispute that. But at this point in their career, it was just a sideshow attraction.
It's not a good booking choice.
No, no. And like I said, I give Doc and Gordy all the credit in the world. Or maybe this is what killed them.
Wow.
But no, honestly, and there's even worse matches on there if you want to actually watch it. They have one of them versus Abdullah the Butcher and Kamala.
No, that had to be pretty awful.
It was. But unfortunately, it wasn't a good – it was just a couple-minute clip. But even that
right.
2 minutes seemed like 2.5 hours.
No doubt.
When Kamala's the fastest guy in the ring, you know you're in trouble. When Kamala's the high flyer and the fastest guy in the ring, you know there's troubles afoot.
Yeah, right.
I guess that one caught you a little by surprise, partner.
It did because you never expect. I mean, Andre towards the end of his career was in a rough tag team with Haku, but yeah, him and Baba must have been a really bad combination and not
put
exactly what I thought.
Baba and Andre,
but it's
made
very
Baba,
apropos.
They made Baba and this tag team made Andre and Haku look like the Briscoe brothers. The real Briscoe brothers, not the other ones.
No, not the goofy independent weirdos.
Yeah. All right. So who's next on your list, partner?
Well, my next one, I'm going to say right off the bat, I love both of these guys. Two of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time. I find no fault in them whatsoever. And even the idea of teaming them up, even though they were so radically different, may have worked had they not gotten the bright idea to do a complete 180 on one of them and completely change his character and personality. And it was a very uncomfortable situation for the poor guy. And it just led for some awful tag team wrestling, which is a shame because I said earlier, I love both of these guys. I'm talking about the Honky Tonk Man and Greg the Hammer Valentine, Rhythm and Blues.
Oh, or as I like to call them, Rhythm and Poos.
You know, dyeing Greg Valentine's hair and trying to make him a rock and roll idol. was so uncomfortable for that poor man.
Did you literally think he was going to pop a hip every time he did the dance?
If his hip actually ever moved, he probably would have. And Honky Tonk Man, great, entertaining, hilarious. Greg the Hammer Valentine, rough, vicious, just a great hand in the ring. And together, it may have worked had they not just gotten goofy with it.
Yeah, yeah. It was like you could see that Valentine just didn't like the gimmick.
Yeah.
And it's the one time I can honestly say I've seen Valentine uncomfortable in the ring.
Right. And to top it off, I could have picked a match, but I had to pick an awesome Brother Love segment to post on the forum.
Nice. You can never get enough Brother Love.
No.
Because he loves you.
Yeah, and their high profile feud with the Bushwhackers probably didn't help them.
Bad wrestling aplenty there.
this is when the Bushwhackers were first coming in, so everybody was already taken back by the 180 change in the Sheepherders to the Bushwhackers. They came in as goofy, happy baby faces, and it was just a crazy, crazy feud.
Oh, man.
It did nobody any favors.
No, it did not. Good choice. Can't fault you for that. Now, my next one, they just had to make the list. I would literally be doing a disservice because I had every intention of putting these guys on the list no matter what. But when I actually rewatched their debut, I didn't realize how actually shitty they were.
All right.
Not only were they a bad team, but they were just awful. And I am talking about the classic, still talked about tag team of the Ding Dongs.
whose behind the scenes story actually trumps any ridiculousness in the ring.
It does. And the worst part was, is I have posted their debut match. It was against George South. Decent worker. George South always delivers.
Oh, yeah.
And some guy by the name of Cougar J. Don't know where they found Cougar J. But literally, when you watch this match, I counted at least 15 blown spots by the Ding Dongs. Combine that with the fact that their bells kept falling off during the match and they were all over the place. They were ringing that annoying bell at ringside and the crowd just turned on them in the middle of the match. And you literally had what had to be one of the dumbest ideas and most poorly executed ideas ever.
Well, I mean, in all justification, the origin of the Ding Dongs, and if they had actually gone with that idea, would have been much worse. Do you remember Flair telling the story of the Ding Dongs?
Now, does this involves them originally being the Hunchbacks?
Yes. The original idea was Jim Herd had come in. He wanted an idea of a wrestling tag team called the Hunchbacks, who could never be pinned because you couldn't get their shoulders to the mat. And how that morphed into the Ding Dongs, I have no freaking clue.
Well, if you remember the best part of that story was Herd was pitching it like, oh, yeah, this will be great. No one can pin them because their shoulders don't go down, and there will be no way to beat them. And Ole Anderson, being the bitter old man, just shot and pissed in his Cocoa Puffs. He's like, I'll just put them in the arm breaker then.
Arm bar makes them spit.
Yeah. And again, and it's like, okay, well, you know what? Let's give them bells and take away the humps.
Right. We're going to make them the ding-dongs. Cover them in Christmas bells. And
from Bellsville.
Right.
And like you said, and it's funny because one of wrestling's great, great announcers, Jim Ross, was calling this match.
Yeah.
And I don't think he knew his match, his mic was live at the end. And all you hear is, that was awful. And you hear Shivani trying to cover it up. Yes, yes, that pun was awful, Jim. It might have been Shivani that said it, and Ross goes, yes, that pun was awful. I know one of them had tried to cover for the other one because they were just like that. And they were even commenting, like, look at the bells all over the ring. They've all fallen off.
And this was a trademark at WCW for a while, and this was actually earlier than some of the others, but I remember them, like, toting out specialty nonsense. I mean, we saw the Master Blasters, we saw Oz, we saw
the Creature.
Tag team. It was just the Creature. Yes, the Creature. And they did that whole Halloween thing. The Phantom of WCW. That was Rick Rude in a mask. And the minute he walked out, everybody went, "It's Rick Rude in a mask." And they would just do these great. And it made you wonder, whatever kind of drugs they were serving in the booking meetings, had to be the best drugs ever taken, because your grasp on reality just went right out the window.
You know what? It's like you just wonder if they did drink, you know, in the meetings.
Take them off, kill them. Oh, yeah, it had to be. It had to be something. Because they can't be – no one – at no time nobody raised their hand and went, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Either that or the money was so good that no one wanted to it was almost like, you know – he's a crazy uncle, but he's rich. Let's just let it go.
Like, I am losing my job over telling him he's an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, it was just so bad. I mean, literally, I'm almost sad that Ole was in that meeting, because I really think that the other guys would have let him go through with the Hunchback.
Would have just sitting back there laughing at him. All right, let's let him go with it. Let him do it.
Yeah. But, again, that is my next on the list.
That is a great pick.
Before we get to our next ones, I got to ask you, do we do commercial break too? Or do we do by popular band? All right.
Do we have to do? Will we get in trouble if we do too?
Can no, because they don't listen to us.
They're not listening to us now. We're in an old Coca-Cola commercial. Why do you feel bad? Who's in the block of commercials? Anybody that's giving us money?
Letters from Holmes. We love Letters from Holmes.
Oh, we do love Letters from Holmes. All right, run Letters from Holmes.
All right. See you in 2 minutes and 57 seconds, exactly.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, we are back. We're not doing any more commercials.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. Unless you give us the money directly in an envelope behind the schoolyard by the dumpster. Then we'll run your commercials.
With a hot dog.
They have hot dogs? All right, and you must bring us hot.
Lots and lots of hot dogs. All righty. So we're getting down to the brass tacks, as it were.
I don't know that tag team.
Oh, they were awesome, man.
Were they an AWA tag team? It was Joey Brad and Bobby Tax?
Yes. With Bun Boy Barton.
Huh?
Oh, you've never heard of Bun Boy Barton?
I don't think I want to.
The AWA had a wrestler, a big fat guy in a white mask, and they called him Bun Boy Barton.
I feel you're ribbing me.
You know what? I am searching the YouTube for Bun Boy. I will find Bun Boy and post him. He did exist, I'm telling you. Greg Spitz can confirm Bun Boy.
Shout out to Greg Spitz.
We'll give a shout out to Greg Spitz. He doesn't listen to us.
You don't know that.
We would have heard from him by now.
No. He's lazier than we are. He ain't calling nobody. So, all right, buddy. Who is next on your list?
Next on my list is a tag team that I just could not figure out for the life of me.
Okay.
It was a Nitro era jobber tag team, two big dudes who could not run. They were goofy looking. They both had decent builds, but they wore tight little singlets that were usually neon colors and some nonsense. They didn't have wrestling boots, which drove me crazy. They both worked all the time in the Magnums, which did not fit their character or their gimmick. The names, the tag team name, everything about them just screamed awful. I'm talking about Chaos and Rage, the team known as High Voltage.
Oh, what the hell was their deal? And they were like so sure that they were going to be the next big thing.
They got a big lead in from WCW before they showed up, and then they got in the ring, and somebody must have went like, hell, we should have taught these boys how to wrestle first.
And didn't one of them, as a matter of fact, one of them actually won the belt with Rick Steiner.
Did he?
Kenny Chaos, because that's who Scott Steiner went roid raging over.
That's a frightening thought.
Yes, it is. It is very. But they, I just, like you said, they were pushed, and you just like, what? Do you think it was just again towards the end, and then they were getting desperate?
Yeah. They were bad, and I don't remember them ever actually doing anything that made me go, hey, those guys might be okay.
I don't even – it's so bad that, like, I don't even remember them in anything that is even remotely memorable.
No, nothing high profile. I mean, they're jobbing pretty clean to the Steiner brothers in the video I shot, and it was right after the NWO evaded for the first time. So the Steiner brothers were selling the NWO more than they were selling, because they kept looking over their shoulders and they were all angry that someone got. I guess it's when they jumped somebody for like the first time, and High Voltage was a little more than an annoyance in this match, which is perfect. Because they were just awful, and I never got them. I never liked them. I looked at the music was they didn't even have music. They just came out to like the sounds of the didn't they?
Yeah, it was electrical shortage. Yes. Yeah, it brother, that I don't even know how to top that with badness. I mean, when a team's so bad that you literally remember them for nothing. That kind of like it kind of just tells you everything you really need to know. Oh man, I don't even. You got me kind of flustered there. I'm literally thinking how to top that. Oh, that's
and
right.
I still have one worst tag team to go.
Oh, and I guarantee you it may not be as worse as my worst tag team.
All right.
My literal worst tag team, and this is no exaggeration, you couldn't get any worse than this, but, you know, we'll say that. But my next tag team, well, you want to talk about and WCW is the only one that could top bad WCW tag team. The vastly underrated David Flair.
Ooh.
And Crowbar.
Oh, they were pretty awesome.
And they were the WCW tag champions.
Yes, they were.
I mean, really? And, you know, Crowbar wasn't bad.
Nope.
But you literally seen the pain in that poor man's face when he had to cover. When he had to cover the matches the way he did. And Flair was just. And Flair tried, but he was just out and out awful. I mean, literally, there was no saving. No saving Flair at any point. And the fact that, like, somebody said, you know what? It's a good idea to give him a belt.
He's Flair's kid. We go. We'll just do it. And honestly, you know, all of Daddy's DNA got washed away in the sheets the next morning on that kid because he had none of his father's charisma or talent.
Oh, wow, that's harsh. That literally is. That's horrible, man.
Yeah, but it's still true.
Sad, but true. Well, that is my next pick, man. And
what an awful pick it is. And that was really towards the end of WCW's nightmarish run. That's when they just can't even begin to say how bad they were and that they didn't care. And, you know, the fact that they would put David Flair in a tag team title situation, I mean, it's bad.
It is. And this is when they literally thought, like, hey, man, we can't do no wrong. Everything's great. But I just can't say enough about how bad that team was. But I do have a surprise for you.
You have a surprise for me?
Yes. If you visit the LAW Retro Wrestling Radio Facebook page, you will see proof, positive, of Bun Boy Barton.
Yo, all right. Bun Boy Barton exists. Yay!
I am happy to announce that somewhere in the near future, Liberty All-Star Wrestling and Bun Boy Barton are going to come to an agreement, and he's going to make an appearance.
Okay.
You think I'm kidding? I'm bringing back Bun Boy. Oh, man. All right. So this is the point of the show where we usually go off on our, you know, our meds, and we hit our number ones, and we do things that get us to try and get us fired. So who is number one on your list?
Very few times when I think of it, when we first come up with a topic, is I usually think of a handful of names, and very few times has that name ever stayed at the top of my list. You know, usually, and so, you know, I think when you think of all times this, you're like, well, okay, that was awesome, but so was this, and maybe that, and maybe from this time last week when we decided that we were doing the worst tag team combinations, all week long I knew for sure. I researched all day today, researched some yesterday, and still, to me, everything that is wrong with tag team wrestling can be summed up in three words.
Uh-oh.
Fire and ice.
Oh.
Scott Flash Norton and the Ice Train were the worst tag team combination I have ever seen. They couldn't talk. They were big, 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 strong dudes who couldn't lift anybody up. And it was the pits.
Oh, that's pretty bad. And you know what? We talked about Buff Bagwell. Norton's another one that could have made this list for worst tag teams.
Oh, absolutely. Scott Norton, I never understood, period. Other than he had a close relationship with Bischoff.
Yeah, and like a lot of people don't remember like him teaming up in Japan with Hercules.
Uh-huh.
And you want to talk about just awful. that right then and there, man. And again, and like you said, this was another guy who and I saw their reasoning for, hey, these are two big, muscular, impressive looking guys, but no one took into account they were just awful.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think they really liked each other at all either. There wasn't a lot of continuity there.
No. Well, you know what? Sky Norton didn't get along with any partner he had.
Yeah, that's true.
So I got to give you credit. That is good. But I think I may have it for this week, though.
It's going to be tough to convince me that there is a team out there worse than FireEyes.
Oh, but there is. And you know what I said earlier? The only thing that can beat a bad WCW team is another WCW team.
Well, that's usually the case.
The only thing that could beat the worst WCW team is a TNA team. And in one of the wrestling's biggest faux pas, I'm talking about what I consider the worst tag team in the history of wrestling. R-Truth, Ron Killings.
Okay.
And Pac-Man Jones. And if you
Who's
don't
Pac-Man
know the story,
Jones?
Exactly. Well, the worst part is they were former TNA World Tag Team Champions. TNA, in all their booking glory, had the bright idea to hire NFL player Pac-Man Jones, who was suspended for the NFL for a year for his atrocious off-the-field behavior. So TNA had this bright idea to hire him to come in and wrestle and bring up their ratings. Well, they signed him to
a
contract.
He was under a year suspension, and they signed him to a one-year deal, I imagine.
But TNA
right? If he was only under a year suspension.
Yes.
He could really conceivably only do.
Oh, it gets worse. TNA got caught with their pants down because the NFL said he can appear, but he can't get in the ring.
He still has an NFL, even if he's suspended, he still has a contract with them. It's the same
so
deal. They would let some of the basketball players wrestle once in the offseason.
So literally all his matches was Ron Killings doing all the work and him just coming in for the pin. And in TNA's infinite wisdom, they still gave them the TNA tag titles.
Crazy.
The man wasn't allowed to do one move. All he could do was lay down on top of wrestlers. And he was made the NWA. I thought I had lazy tag teaming down to a science. This man put me to shame.
Amazing. Poor Ron Killings.
And I did post their winning of the tag. And the worst part is the I laugh because it's even funnier who the NWA tag team champions were. Kurt Angle and Sting.
They beat Kurt Angle and Sting?
Yes.
Ron Truth Killings essentially beat Sting and Kurt Angle by himself.
Well, they basically went into one of the most convoluted angles in history to get the pin over. And like I said, you have to watch it to believe it. But the fact that they gave them the belts and they had to now defend them, or I should say Ron Killings now had to defend the belts on his own. It's literally, I could not come up with anything worse. I couldn't even make up anything worse than that.
That sounds too ridiculous to be true. And I'm sitting here watching it now on this thing. That is just a whole new level of ridiculousness.
It is. because if you – he can't even and it was literally and the NFL came out and said this, and they were making it known because they were, like, hoping that he would just – because the NFL was really against him making money.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
They're trying to punish the guy, and TNA is like, oh, well, we'll give him a job. You know? He couldn't cut a promo. He couldn't – he just – it was awful personified. And
right.
Like I said, the fact that the guy wasn't even allowed to get into the ring except to pin – that was the only exception. He could just pin people.
At that point, when you know he can't get in the ring, you suck it up for a year and put him in the commentator's booth to get your money's worth out of him.
Or make
him
manager.
Write him in, you don't write him into a storyline, give him the tag belts.
Yeah, and you, like I said, if you watch the match, he doesn't even attempt to go near him. And then when he finally tags him, it literally becomes, because the crowd goes nuts because they think they're going to see this guy finally wrestle, because this has been going on for months at this point. And the worst part was, is even before this match happened, what is that?
That's my cat.
Oh, is he on Blog Talk Radio now too?
Sure. She's getting a show and a better time slot than we got.
Bet you she'll get a special too. The Kitty Meow Meow special, airing on May the 4th.
See? She agrees.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
So, you know, I've yet to see Pac-Man Jones anywhere near this match at this point. I don't even know if this guy really... Oh, there he... What the heck is he wearing? His mom is... That dude?
That dude.
He's
and by
like
the way, he was a bust in the NFL too.
Yeah, I said I never heard of him. Granted, I'm not the biggest football guy in the universe, but never heard of him. What the hell is Pac-Man Jones?
Literally one of the biggest scumbags in sports history. And
so
CNN said,
to
"Hey,
have him.
Yes, because you know it's better to have press than
no such thing as bad publicity."
Yes, well,
they
you know,
tried. I mean, you're talking about a company on their first pay-per-view brought out the Johnsons.
But you know what? They had potential on that first pay-per-view, if you remember. Because you remember who our favorite tag team was?
Flying Elvis.
Yes.
Which made absolutely no sense at all, but I loved it.
The high vertical suplex by Toby Keith.
On Jeff Jarrett.
Yes.
I remember that. That was a mess. It was a fun mess, though. I enjoyed it, but it was the only thing I ever enjoyed that they did, I think.
Oh, man. So, pretty interesting list, partner. We
indeed.
Covered some interesting and surprising on both ends, man. I was surprised our list didn't cross over whatsoever.
Well, we both had a huge thought as to what awful was, and we were both correct. There's a
yes.
lot of bad wrestling out there.
There is, and if you and the funniest part was is like the WCW to everything else ratio was so high.
You know, I noticed that, and I thought it was just me being biased. It didn't like some NWA WCW tag teams, but. Looking back, and I specifically went and I stopped. I'm like, I'm not looking at any more WCW tag teams. I need to find WWF tag teams that were awful, and I did find the Midnight Express, which weren't awful wrestlers. It was just an awful gimmick. And the same thing with Rhythm and Blues. Not awful wrestlers,
yes.
just an awful gimmick. But I could have went on for 6-7 more tag teams in WCW that were both awful tag team gimmicks, awful wrestlers, and just awfulness all around.
And the worst part about that was NWA, WCW had such a rich tradition of great tag teams.
Yeah.
Like, they literally went from being like the mecca of tag. I mean, because they at one point were the place to be for tag team. They had one of the strongest tag team divisions. And it just went downhill so quick. It was almost like
And WWF went through this period where they just, you know what, tag teams aren't over and we're just going to, which was their opinion. And they just threw them by the wayside and were like, oh, well, team guys, if we got to have tag belts, we'll have tag belts.
Right. We'll just throw guys together and make it a one segment thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a shame, but it made for some bad, bad TV watching, which is good for us because, you know, on LAW Retro Wrestling Radio, bad is good.
Up and sometimes. Down. When our topic is bad, it's good.
Yes, it is. Now, real quick before we go, partner, if I could just touch on something real quick. Little something personal for me. A friend of mine, an indie wrestler from the area who moved away, a gentleman by the name of Mark Manson, he recently came down with an illness. And unfortunately, as with today's society, you know, the young man, he worked for himself. He had his own pretty successful mechanic shop. And he came down with a form of tuberculosis. And unfortunately, he doesn't, you know, the insurance, because he couldn't work, he couldn't no longer pay the insurance. And I'm going to post a link if anyone could see that. It's you know, FundMe page to help the family with the bills because they're about to lose their house and a couple other things. And, you know, I know people may not know him, but you know what, if you can not buy a soda that day or maybe not buy something and throw a little, it would mean a lot to a family. And he was a good dude. He was always I don't know if you ever met Mark in your travels in wrestling.
I'm not sure.
But, okay, he was a really nice guy and really always went out of his way to help people out. And I was just really heartbroken to hear it. And this was not even something that was asked to me. It was just something I saw in somebody else's, and I just wanted to, you know, since we had the forum, since we had the page, I just wanted to take the opportunity to kind of pitch that. So if you guys get a chance, take a look at it. I mean, you know, people give money for the stupidest reasons on GoFundMe. This is actually for a good cause. So if you can just throw a couple bucks, to, you know, into it, it all adds up. So that's my PSA for the week.
There you go. A commercial worth airing.
There you go. So, before we go, any honorable mentions?
I think I covered a lot of my honorable mentions. I mean, anything with Buff Bagwell clearly took the cake. I don't know. No, I think I covered all the ones I wanted to cover. I mean, if I went and dug... You know, there were some really goofy 90s combinations of guys. Was it Big Josh and PN News, stuff like that?
That was actually one of the honorable mentions I was going to get to because that was our boy Brian Mackey. He sent that one in.
Big Josh
and PN News.
It was a good pick because they were pretty awful.
And he actually sent in that they beat the Creatures in seconds at Halloween Havoc 91.
I believe that was the same one when the Fru did the the Phantom of WCW.
Wasn't that also the Abdul the Butcher electrocution match?
It's quite possible. It's around that same era, if it wasn't the same year. That match lives in infamy. That match was just recently aired on the network in one of their shows. Edge and Christian show, I think. They were talking about it.
Because
they revel in awfulness just about every week.
They do. That is actually a good show. We gotta give that a little love because that is actually a funny. Their obsession with Paul Heyman's missing ponytail kills me. Because they think it was kidnapped.
He probably was. Well, he probably didn't pay it either, and it took off.
Oh,
Wow, really?
Yes, I went
there.
You're
going to shoot on an upstanding man like Paul Heyman?
Yes. Yes, I am.
You know why I'm going to give you a hard time about that?
Because he's the only guy in the business that don't owe you money? There, he didn't think of it first.
No. I was stupid enough to, you know, he actually, I'll tell you a funny story. Remember when they invaded WWF at the Spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from one of his lackeys asking me if they could borrow my cell phone. this is a dead serious story. Asking me, and this was back at a time like when cell phones, you had to pay by the minute.
Okay.
Because he didn't trust WWF, and he wanted to have a cell phone on him so that he could be in contact with somebody to watch the TV and tell them what was going on. And I'm sitting there thinking, you must think I am the dumbest mofo on the planet. Because number one is like, I don't even work for you guys. And the fact that they, you know, I was never going to see that phone again if I let that happen.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I was literally called by a person that worked for him. Hey, can we borrow your cell phone?
So, there are no words.
No, there's not.
No words for that.
No. This is a guy that ran a company, and he didn't, quote-unquote, own a cell phone.
Oh, he owned a cell phone. He just wasn't dumb enough to bring his.
Exactly.
He just couldn't get some other idiot to cough up a cell phone. And I guarantee you,
yeah,
some idiot gave him a cell phone that night.
Oh, yeah. And so that's my Paul Heyman story.
Miraculous.
Well, partner, it's been fun. We went over our usual hour, which we tend to do because, you know, we can't.
We're no longer an hour show.
Yeah, that's why we're no longer the Retro Wrestling Hour.
Wrestling,
that's right, because that's what we're all about. So tune in next week when we will have another subject of our entertainment and yours. You know, and again, if you guys got something you want to touch on or you think will be good, don't be afraid to plug it to us. I know our good friend, we got to give a shout out, Bodacious Brad is listening. He actually sent me a message.
Because
we're
making fun of Bodacious?
No, not that. He was actually giving us a hard time because we were talking about spears and how bad they were in a previous show.
Oh, and we forgot to talk about how bad his spear was. Now I'm getting an angry email probably.
But our buddy's out there working his usual shift, so we got to show him some love because he's a good dude. And you know, he is one of the LAW core guys, man. You know, Moondog Ravage. Love that guy.
I thought we were talking about Bodacious Brad.
Well, Bodacious Brad owns Moondog Ravage.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you didn't know that.
He keeps him in the backyard.
Yes. Frank Cody sold all rights to everything, even stuff he doesn't own. Dude's so shady.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't trust that dude, that's for sure.
I'll take the hot tag.
Oh, man. On that note, we're going to end this show. And like I said, we'll be back next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Partner, you want to give the snappy goodbye?
Snappy goodbye. Happy trails, folks.
Are you ready to be totally driven? Totally Driven Entertainment Network has a full lineup of shows dedicated to total entertainment.
Starting on Mondays, we have the always relevant and often hilarious Hard Talk with Big Daddy and Big Booty Trudy. That's at 6 p.m. And at 11 p.m., go 8 flights up and get your mind right. Tuesdays at noon, Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira covers professional wrestling news, rumors, and one-of-a-kind interviews with professional wrestling performers and insiders. At 8 p.m., join Smith Hart of the legendary Hart family dynasty for the Hart Grapevine as he goes behind the scenes and shares his knowledge of the professional wrestling industry and some truly remarkable special interviews, too. Welcome to Hump Day, Wednesdays, 9:30 a.m., the Coco and Wee Wee Show asks the age-old question, who do you love, who do you shove? And at 8 p.m., the Give No F's Cosplay Variety Hour brings you the best in cosplay, comics, video games, and more. Thursday nights at 5 p.m., Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira returns to the airwaves to cover professional wrestling news, results, and more. At 8 p.m., Totally Driven Radio, the show that started it all, brings you the best in topical conversation, celebrity interviews, exclusive musical guests, and so much more. Your Friday night would be incomplete without a trip to Uncle Shawnee's Playground. Join Uncle Shawnee at 8 p.m. and prepare to be offended, but, you know, in a good way. At 10 p.m., don't forget the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour, bringing back the golden age of professional wrestling. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., the Mojo Sports Show starts your weekend off with a healthy dose of sports mojo. Get the latest news, scores, results, and more every Saturday morning. At 9 p.m., Totally Driven Radio rocks. Bay Ragney unleashes his inner beast as he takes you on a heavy metal journey and looks at the music he thinks rocks. That brings us to Sunday morning, the perfect time for a big weenie. At 10 a.m., the Big Weenie Castanini Show goes live around the world. And ending the week at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights, join the TV Nation for your weekly dose of the Nerd Herd and talk all things comics, TV, movies, and pop culture. Remember, get driven, stay driven.